Hello, Pastor Deborah here, and welcome again to another wonderful spiritual teaching video for you. This is going to be a word of encouragement. We're still working in the year 2023, and I think we are up into November. So welcome, and hope that you are well today, and that you are doing good. So here in this word of encouragement from Pastor Deborah, a global spiritual teacher, a master teacher, a spiritual mama, a shepherd, a pastor, one who is sent out, called an apostle, to you out there in the realm on planet Earth, the realm of the kingdom of darkness. Oh, I know you don't think you're in darkness. And the word darkness means ignorance. Lack of light, shadows, yeah, also means bewitchment, confusion, perversion. That's the kingdom you live in here, in your mind, and out through your physical body. We learn a lot about you in the movies you write, what you do, what entertains you, what you pay your money for, how you get your pleasure, who you support when you vote. What ideas do you believe in? I can tell that by who you support when you vote. But that's not the real you. The real you is called the forever person, the third part of you, the unseen part. That's right. The eternal part. Oh, the part that we see through your soul, your mental health. That all passes away upon your earthly death. But I'm after you, the forever person, the one who will live on after this physical body is destroyed by sickness, disease, death, war, old age. I'm after that part of you that you believe goes on and will get maybe rebirthed, resurrected, reincarnated. I'm after that one. The forever person, you. So here in this word of encouragement, I've got a wonderful title for you. But first, let's give Google a wonderful thank you. This is a free clip art from them. I used them before I found Pixabay. I'm recording through Zoom Pro. Thank you, Zoom Pro. And I'm not using a green screen. So in case things look strange around my hair or my hand points and it might disappear into the video or I look fuzzy, it's because there's no green screen behind me. I'm hoping that in the future, Zoom Pro will be able to have a Zoom Pro fix where you don't have to use a green screen. And we just look wonderful. But we're not there yet. Not even the big movie makers. They have to use green screens behind their actors and actresses. But thank you, Zoom Pro. And I'm working through a laptop, a gaming computer. I discovered them because I need to download and store a lot of videos. They're very fast also, uploading and downloading. And I have a Logitron camera and a Blue Yeti microphone. I tried at first when I started just using my microphone on my laptop. It wasn't good enough. And the speaker from the laptop wasn't quite good enough. Now I've been through a lot of different cameras, a lot of different lighting sources, and microphones. But I'm content now. So I just get my chair set up, my laptop moved over. Don't have to put up the green screen with all kinds of stuff anymore. Because some days I sit down and it's 2 hours or more for just recording. Now the house is quiet. Husband is out working on car. It is right now we are in September. So I'm recording this when you see it. It should be in November. I'm recording in September. In fact, it is Labor Day here in America. And we're moving on. So here in this wonderful spiritual teaching video for you, on the playlist of the Hidden Kingdoms YouTube channel of Pastor Deborah, which also has YouTube Shorts under Pastor Deborah, the title of this Word of Encouragement video is, Who is Your King of Your Life? Your Culture, Your Government, and Your Nation? That's my question to you that we're going to try to answer. Pastor Deborah's king is this guy right here, who sits on the right hand of the throne of the kingdom of heaven, high in the third heavens. He was the guy that went to the cross, who was sent there by his father for you. He volunteered to go as a lamb and sacrifice himself. In the fullness of time, he was sent, incarnated into a dirt body named Jesus. And then he returned in his glorified state, wearing a white robe of righteousness, sitting on the right hand of the throne. He's waiting for his church to become mature so he can be married to it, intimate with it, one with it, on a new planet. And the desires of the King, the Father's heart, the great I Am, the author and finisher of all the Holy Bible, will be complete. His Son, his church, a new earth, his kingdom expanded. And the kingdom of heaven will rule and reign in people's hearts, in their minds, and their spirits, on another realm, the realm of the natural, the realm of the flesh, out into the realm that you can see with your natural eyes. So here in this video, I'm asking you this question. Who, not what, but who is the king of your life? So let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, for you have not left us alone down here. You have given us helpers. You have sent your rays of light. You have sent your messengers. You have sent yourself inside of the dirt. You are in Jesus. You anointed him Messiah, the King of Heaven, the anointed Christ. He had your word of God in him that was living. You went to the cross in him. For your words are you. They are your heart expressed, spoken, decreed. They are you. You went to the cross for us. Your Holy Spirit went. Your Son, the Word itself, went to pay a price for us, all humanity, and every generation, even back to the days of the beginning in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and woman. You paid the price. You sacrificed yourself. You threw yourself on the grenade. You covered our backs when the knives were coming. You took our place. So we, the forever person, could be forgiven, set free of darkness and ignorance and captivity, and find you, and that your rays of light would reach us. We thank you that you will fulfill your words that you spoke out through Isaiah. In Isaiah 60, 61, and 62, you will give us a Hebrews 4:12, a spiritual circumcision that will help our spirits come out of the flesh, out of partnership and marriage to the soul, so you can talk to it directly, spirit to spirit, and help us to fulfill your desires of your heart, and that we may learn that you are our Father, our Mother, our King, and our Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to be working through several scriptures out of the Authorized King James Bible. I use it because there is no commentaries from any denomination. I have to end up using the Webster's Dictionary to look up the definition and the Strong's Concordance to help me understand the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek. And then the Holy Spirit, my master teacher, who I'm submitted to as a student and disciple, he will help me, guide me through many ways to understand what I'm reading. One of the ways he did was he had me put the word spirit and spiritual in front of just about every word in the Bible. I learned the Bible is about a spiritual work, a spiritual God, spiritual words, a spiritual realm, the kingdom of heaven. And I had to understand the Bible from two realms, the realm of the flesh, the natural, and the spiritual. In the spiritual realm, there was the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. There was God, Christ Jesus, and Satan, the spiritual adversary of God. So I started putting the word spirit and spiritual in front of words. I started identifying the real me, the forever person, the one who lives on after death, who leaves the physical body upon abuse and fear, who has powers that you don't know of, but are used in your ignorance through the soul, through the physical body. I had a lot to learn when I was learning how to help you the Lord's way. I had been a licensed clinical mental health counselor and helped you the way of the world of mental health counseling. But God had other plans for me. I was to learn how to help you his way, through his words, his power, his gifts. I had a lot to learn, and I learned fast. It was on-the-job training, thrown in with the wolves, and I had to grow up fast. You may not have that same experience as I did, but God was in a hurry. People were dying and going to hell because there was no one who could go to hell for him. There were people that were in the occult, witchcraft, heavy metal music, LGBTQI, those who were world leaders, those who were Manchurian candidates, those who were living in trauma from a childhood abuse, heavy metal music singers, prisoners in prisons, murderers, rapists, gangs, drug cartels, business people, lawyers, politicians, who were still in the darkness, still serving Satan, still serving the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan was building his kingdom, darkness, trying to have a replica of the kingdom of heaven he was kicked out of here on earth through us. I had to learn that. So here in this question to you, who is the king of your life, your culture, your government, and your nation? We're going to look at some things about you. And who is the king, the ruler, the Lord of your life? Let's go to Psalms 22, verse 28. Psalms was written by King David, the second king of ancient Israel. He was a songwriter. He was a poet. He played the harp or the lyre. And he was a king. Let's hear what he has to say. Verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's. The word kingdom is very important to understand. It means the king's domain, the king's territory, the king's culture, the king's government, the king's nation, the people. So he is saying the kingdom. At that time, he was talking about ancient Israel as a kingdom, that it was the king's territory. He's also talking about the earth was the Lord's territory and the heart of every human is the Lord's. And he is the governor, the king, the ruler, the leader among the nations, means among the people. David recognized who is the king of his life. of his culture, Israel, of Israel's government and the nation. It was the Lord. It was the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was the God that Moses worked with to set the Israelites free from Egypt. It was the God who the prophets served in the ancient days. And that takes us over to Psalms 47, 7 through 8. Once again, it's King David, the second king of ancient Israel, speaking to us. Let's listen. Verse 7, "For God of King David of Israel is the King of all the earth." That means the earth belongs to him. He created it. Satan did not create the earth. We did not create it. God's voice spoke it out. It was the new land, the new territory that the spiritual being called man, not a gender, but a species, would rule over and be king of that territory. And we would be sent as explorers to become colonies of the kingdom of heaven. And God told King David, "Do not separate me, the Lord, your God, from your government, from your life, from your culture, from your families. Therefore sing you praises," David is saying, with this understanding, with this truth, this knowledge, this light, that the God of King David of ancient Israel is the King of all the earth. He said, praise that. You got the knowledge now. You got the understanding. Verse number 8. God, the Lord of King David of Israel, spiritually, means in the unseen realm, reigns over the heathen, the unbelievers, the lost ones. God sits in thrones in his place of rulership, his place of kingship, of his holiness. God sits, he is placed, like this picture shows, in his place of rulership, kingship, and his holiness. God doesn't have to come down here himself. He's too big. He sends his Holy Spirit inside of humanity. He's inside of Christ Jesus. He desires to be in us, intimate with us, one with us, speaking to our forever person, speaking and shining out light. Inside of your spirit is a temple. There's a Holy of Holies. Go study the ancient Hebrew temple. There was an outer court and an inner court, all in the spirit of the forever person. That's right. So David is helping us to know, to answer this question. Who is your king? That takes us over to 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 24. Chronicles was written in the Old Testament. And it was the Chronicles that meant the journeys, the years, that sort of history of the ancient Israelites. So let's listen. Verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Did you know rocks can sing? I heard that when I went into a cave. When you ping on them, they make different noises. They'll sing. Nature sings. I learned that. Chickens and turkeys can talk to God. Trees can sing. You hear them crying when they're burning. when you're chopping them down without their permission. They are living creatures. All of animals. Whales. Orcas. Dolphins. Fish. Shrimp. They all can sing to the Lord. That means all humans, creatures, resources can show forth, can speak out, shine out, demonstrate from day to day His great spiritual salvation. That means life over death, redemption from slavery, life from death, freedom and deliverance, healing from sickness, from illnesses. Life can come back. Nature shows us that. Are you listening? Are you looking at nature? It's crying out right now because of climate change. It's crying out because of wars and bombs. It's crying out because how you mine it. It's crying out how you treat the dirt of humans. It's crying out every time you vote for an abortion. It's crying out. Have you ever heard a baby in the womb crying in pain because you're killing it through abortion? Have you seen it try to avoid being dissolved by your chemicals? Have you seen and heard the cries when eunuchs were made? Women are raped. Little boys are raped. Have you heard the cries of the animals you abuse? Put them in zoos. Kill them. Eat their eggs. They cry out to God because you don't love them. You don't care for them. God is saying, all of nature and its resources show forth and speak out, shine out, and they demonstrate from day to day His salvation even for them. Verse 24, display His glory among the heathen. Other humans, among the demonic spirits and Satan himself of the kingdom of the darkness. You, separated family members, who are all evil and wicked, unforgiving, merciless towards your own family, full of jealousy and hate, will sell your children for food, will sell anything for money, will sell yourself. Yeah. You. You'll even sell yourself to Satan for money, sex, pleasure, to get out of jail. All of nature and Pastor Deborah and many others, they declare His marvelous works. Who? This God of creation, this God of the earth, this King of heaven, this Creator. You are to praise Him. You are to declare and announce His deeds, His laws, His commands, His redemption, His salvation. I am to declare Him and His good works to you. Chronicles is telling us to do that. Yeah. There's a war down here between two realms, two kingdoms, between a king and a dethroned angel. Now we're going to go to 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 34. We're still in the book of Chronicles, the Old Testament. Go back and read it. Study each book. They're all important. Sometimes I would just go and write down. I'd start at the beginning, and God said, I would listen. The voice of the Lord spoke to a prophet, I listened. I learned God's a talking God, and he wants to talk to you personally. He wants to give you dreams, vision, take you on spirit trips. He took Enoch. Oh my gosh, he took some others. Elisha. Yeah. He wants to be with you, and he wants you to come into his presence. He wants to show you things. He'll bring you up to the throne where all his angels are, where he is. He will show you the future. You want to see how God works? To go watch the movie. It comes out at Christmas time. It's a Charles Dickens movie. It's about this man who was grumpy, had an employee, and the employee had a young son, I think it's Timothy, maybe, and he was crippled. During the night, Uncle Scrooge is what it was called. I think it's called A Christmas Carol. Was given three dreams by three different angels. Showed him who he was, showed him the future, and the path he could go on. And when he woke up, he was a changed man. Go watch the movie. Excellent. How God works in dreams. Go to bed one way, wake up totally different. That's right. God can give. I saw this on the YouTube. We had some people praying. God spoke to a young man and his family to go to a Muslim country. Open a little Christian church. They did. And some ISIS guys came, kidnapped them, killed them all. Then God spoke to another pastor. Said, you go back to that same city. You open up that church. Now this new pastor knew what happened to the old pastor. He took a deep breath. And he went. And when he got there, a hooded man came, said, we're ISIS. We're taking you, and put a black hood over this pastor's head, took him off to a place, uncovered him, and there were 900 Muslims, Islamic terrorists, sitting in front of him. One of them stood up and said, sir, all of us have had the same dream in the same night, that we are guilty. And we carry the guilt of your former pastor, who we killed. And we've done everything we know to do with Allah. And we have prayed and sacrificed and done prayers, read scriptures. But the guilt will not leave any of us, all 900 of us. And we were told in this dream that you could help us. This young Christian man who obeyed God said a prayer of forgiveness, and the cloud and the heaviness and the unforgiveness was lifted. And in one moment, 900 ISIS people, Islamic terrorists, believed in the love and forgiveness of Christ Jesus from the cross. Two different people. One had to die for you, so that you would believe and God could give you a dream and a vision about your guilt. And another had to come in obedience and help you to be forgiven. God works in partnership with people. He works through dreams and visions. He works to help you. Satan lost 900 of his murderers, ISIS terrorists. They would change their families. And God, the God of King David, the God of the Holy Bible, would rule in their hearts, and not the God that they had been serving. So here in 1 Chronicles, we keep going. Verse 24, among all nations, among all people. Verse 25, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared, that means respected, and honored above all gods. Did you know you're a god? Satan's not a god. His demons aren't gods, they want to be. But you are a god. You are an offspring when you are born again of a god. You are his child. You got god stuff in you. Don't you ever believe you're just an ordinary person and you are nothing but a poor, woe is sinful person. You're not. When you get born again through the cross, by the blood, by a lamb, you got the seeds and the mind of a god, but you have to grow and develop. You are not an animal. You are not a plant. And if you are a leader of a nation, you are not the king of your nation. This guy is. I don't care if you got a dragon. Who's you're claiming to serve? Or you serve a man? Or you serve a flag? Or you serve a constitution? Or a political party? They are not gods. Only the King of the Kingdom of Heaven and his Father are a true God. You have to grow into that in here. Verse 27, glory and honor are in his, the Lord's God's presence, the rays, the angels, the music, all of nature sings and bows to him. Strength and gladness are his place. Verse 28, give unto the Lord, you people, you nations, you families, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Honor him by recognizing him and his glory to bring life from death, to bring creation from nothing, to redeem out of the darkness, from the pits of Satan. Recognize his strength, his authority, his dominion, his power to do these things. The God you're serving probably can't do this. It's dependent on elements like stars, moons, animals, ancestors, culture, political parties, drugs, drug cartels, political leaders, pleasure, sex, winning sports teams. He's not in any of that. Verse 29, give honor to him and praise him. Give thanksgiving unto the Lord, the Lord of glory. Give honors and recognition due unto his name, his nature, his essence, his victories. You go read the Bible and read his victories. He's a warrior. A king is a political leader and a general and a warrior. And he goes into battle. He knows the law. He sets the law. And he knows about traitors, treacherous plots, subplots. He's a mighty general in war. Oh, you go read about him in the Old Testament. You study him as a warrior. You study him in his tactics of warfare. You give honor to his name, his essence, his nature, to his heart of love. Go read Isaiah 60, 61, and 62. You'll learn about his heart. You give him honor for his laws, his statutes. Then bring this honor of praise, sacrifice of yourself, this offering of your life to him. Spiritually come before him in the realm of the spirit. How do you do that? Your spirit does it. Your soul cannot do it. It's of the biological body. Your biological body cannot do it. When your spirit is submitted, it will transfer that submission to your soul. Your soul will speak praises. Then it will force your body into submission. Your three-in-one character, spirit, soul, and body, will all be in submission, declaring honor and glory to him, the great I am, the King of ancient Israel, the King, Jesus, the King, the Father. You will give honor and glory to his laws, his statutes. Bring an offering, praise, thanksgiving, your life, and spiritually come before him in the realm of the spirit. Worship in spirit and by your spirit the Lord in the beauty and glory of his holiness. He's looking for your spirit, your forever person, to worship him, not your physical body, not your soul, your spirit. So you got to understand you've got a spirit in there. People call it many different things. I just call it the forever person, the one that leaves your physical body, that disassociates, that creates multiple personalities, the one that lives on after physical death. Even if you're in a coma, you're there. Talk to you. Even a baby in the womb has a spirit, a forever person. Verse 30. Fear and honor and respect, bow before him, all the earth. The world, that means the government systems, also shall be stable when they are in his kingdom, ruled by his people. For the kingdom of heaven is ruling and reigning, so it, the earth and its systems, and the system inside of you of spirit, soul, and body, all that are on it, nature, the climate, business, trade, government, would all be under the word and the world and the rulership of the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. And they will not be moved from it. They will not be unstable, unrighteous, or unholy. You got a lot to look at within yourself. These are some great words of encouragement. You may not think so. Go back and look at these scriptures yourself. Look them up. Go slow. Verse 31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Be happy, and let men say among the nations, among all the people, that the Lord God reigns, not you, not your government, not your ways of thinking. Have you ever seen a happy earth? Happy animals? Have you ever seen the earth bless you, protect you? Have you ever seen the earth bring forth its bountiful harvest and blessings for you freely? The heavens, the atmosphere, it's all under him. and he can control it for you as a blessing when you serve him. Verse 32. Let the sea, the waters of death, roar, and its fullness thereof. Oh, it gets mad. Death gets mad. It cannot stand that it loses you spiritually. Let the fields and the lands rejoice, and all that is therein. Nature loves the Lord. Nature knows it's here to serve the Lord like an angel. Nature, creation, the earth knows. You just don't know. You're blind. You're confused. You're perverted, twisted. You've been seduced by the dark side. Death rules you. Ignorance. And so we're hoping to break through with light, truth, into that ignorance that's in you. Verse 33. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth. God is a judge. You think you're going to get by with what you're doing, how you're living and thinking, treating nature, treating humans. You think you can break laws of other nations, steal through all kinds of trade, attack countries because you want their money and their riches. You think you're a successful leader because you bring in money. God is not happy with you. None of you. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God's tough. You think what we live on planet Earth is what he created? Do you think when a child is born with defects, that's his creation? Do you think he has created drug abuse, sexual abuse, abuse of animals, of nature, greed, jealousy, perversions? Do you think he has created horrible politicians? You think democracy is his creation? The pattern is kings, an emperor. But they got so perverted, humanity didn't want that pattern. He's a king. Earth is a colony with his people on it. The earth is his, but he's going to destroy this mess. There's too much blood on it that you spilled. The demonics live here. They're in everything. They're in the water, the trees, the animals, in you. They're trying to have a kingdom themselves, like they had in heaven, where Satan's spirit permeates, lives in everything. And everything of nature and of humanity serves Satan. He's trying to build a kingdom here. You think God's going to let that happen? God and Satan are in battle. Choose your side. I have. I'm with God. This guy right here and all these angels. This earth we're on, it's going to be destroyed, folded up like an old garment. A new earth is coming. And he's going to start all over. Where do you think Satan and his demonics are going? They're going to the lake of fire, never to be seen nor heard of again. You could go there too if you don't get in the family. He says, I went to the cross to get you back so you could be born again, reincarnated into a new creature in Christ, the anointed word. I went through that. I was saved at 3. I became Jan in the 5th grade. Jan had to die and Pastor Deborah had to come alive. That's a story called It's Time. You go read it. That spiritual transformation. You must go through it. I had a experience spiritually one night of being on the cross in Christ, going through it, dying, and being raised again. Let's go to Zechariah 14:9 and finish out. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name is one. So who is king of your life? My king is King Jesus and his Father, the King of heaven. The great I am, the Lord and King of ancient Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nobody else. Ask yourself, are you living for him? Are you speaking up for him? Have you given up your life for him? I have. My family means nothing. You are more important than my family. I've been poisoned because of that love for multi-generational Satanists and witches, heavy metal music, drug cartel people, horrible politicians and leaders. I've been almost stabbed to death in my own home by a precious homeless person I was trying to help. I've been lied about to the police. I've lost jobs because of you. Given up what everybody else thinks is important in life. I don't even watch regular television. I don't watch soap operas. I don't watch all the game shows. Don't go to football games. Don't do any of that. I read. I study. Read some more. Pray. Cry for you. Come to you in the womb. Come to you in comas. Come to you when you're being abused out of your body. Come to you when you're on the altars of Satan. Come to you when you're being trafficked. Come to comfort your spirit when you're disassociated. Come to bring you healing and love. That's my life. That's who I serve. I serve the God of love, the God of restoration, the God of Israel, the God of King David, the God of the kingdom of heaven. I am a God myself. I am a ruler on earth from the kingdom of heaven. So ask yourself, who is the king of your life? Who do you serve and honor? Who do you work for? Who's your Lord? And that's my word of encouragement for you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of spirit and truth, helping us to self-reflect and look at ourselves through the eyes and the ears of your ancient book, the Bible, through the lives of many people who spoke about you. Thank you for bringing us light and truth about yourself and asking us deep, deep spiritual questions so we can do self-reflection. Help us to sit under a master teacher somewhere so we can learn and grow the truth within us. Help us to listen to nature, the cries of it for help. Father, help us to change our lives. Transform us as you did Uncle Scrooge in one night. Help us to die on the cross and to live again as a new creature in Christ, that we may sit as his bride in the church, his ministers, to rule and reign on earth for the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Father, for wanting a family. Thank you, Mother, Agape Love, for loving us so much and giving us your image and nature. Thank you, Father, for sending us out into the unknown and being with us and never forsaking us. Help us to bring in the harvest for you, to expand the kingdom of heaven wherever we go, to bring our lost brothers and sisters home, to get them out of jails and captivity and ignorance and out of the bonds of abuse, wounds, hopelessness. Father, help us. Let us see ourselves first, that who is the king of our life, our country, our nation, our culture. And then help us to rise up as a king and a God of the kingdom of heaven under you, on earth, for your glory. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I'll see you next week on the next word of encouragement for you. We're working through the end of the year. Then we'll start some new ones. Hopefully my numbers will be on track. I don't know what happened. I had to get a new computer. I lost some videos. But we're okay. We're together. I'll see you next week.